In an era where global bonds and equities are vulnerable to the vagaries of on and off sentiment, whether triggered by large central banks' monetary policy decisions or leaders of significant economies who are known to haphazardly tweak their policy positions, it's wise to have a spread of portfolio investments so that on balance, you're able to achieve average decent returns on your investments. A relatively new asset class is that of music royalties. This would mean owning rights to songs, which every time they're played, you as an owner would be able to get part payment of the royalties due for their airtime. One UK fund-based asset manager has decided to invest in these type of assets. To break down the issues for us, I'm joined on the line by Mike Pingera. He's head of multi-strategy at Sanlam Investments UK. Thanks very much for joining us, Mike. So with being the owner of a music right, you can literally make money when a DJ in some remote place somewhere drops a song on the radio.
Yes, I think it's important to stress right from the start, we're invested in a vehicle that owns the writer's share of a song, which means that as far as we're concerned, as far as our investors are concerned, it doesn't matter where the song is played or whether it's on which platform or a radio station or indeed which particular performer chooses to use the song. We're entitled for a share because we own the writer's, a portion of the writer's share, not tied to a particular artist.
Understood. So we have learned that equities investments tend to beat other asset classes in terms of improved returns over a given stretch of time. But what qualities would the ownership of a music right give you over an equity?
I think, as you mentioned in your introduction, particularly at the moment, there's a huge amount of short-term uncertainty, whether it's at home here in the UK with Brexit or on the broader scale in terms of President Trump's policies. But one of the routes we took to navigate some of the short-term uncertainty was to really think about long-term trends and long-term opportunities. Mm. And with that in mind, looking for investments that provide a very long-term income stream was for us quite attractive. Now, to put that in context, music rights last for 75 years after the death of the writer. So we could look at those short-term events, and 75 years is so far beyond the short term that it gives us a great deal of comfort. From a return perspective, the current songs held within the portfolio, on average, and there's just over 1,500 songs in the portfolio at the moment, but on average they've got a yield of about 8%. Now, 5% of that is distributed as part of a dividend. Mm. 3% is retained within the business, obviously, for further purchases. But the total return is about 8%, which in the long run is actually not too dissimilar from the sort of return you'd expect from equities, but hopefully with a lot less volatility along the way.
Absolutely. So tell us a bit more about this, you'll tell me if I pronounce it right or wrong, Hypnosis Songs Fund, which listed on the London FTSE in July last year, and which you as Sanlam Investments UK have decided to invest in on behalf of your clients. What benefits have you derived and what sort of growth have you got from the investment?
So perhaps, if I may, I'd just go back a little bit further than that. It was actually about 4, maybe 5 years ago that music rights first came across or came onto my radar. I was, I think, in an airport lounge somewhere and read an article about music rights, and I started to track the sale of music rights. Mm. And what really brought this to my attention was that the Barry White's My First, My Last, My Everything sold off a 9% yield. And I remember sitting at my desk thinking, I mean, look, if I could buy that, I'd be more than happy. It would meet lots of my objectives. Hmm. But it took us nearly 4 years to find an access vehicle. The Hypnosis Songs Fund is a vehicle brought to the market by the ex-manager of Guns N' Roses, Elton John and Beyonce, a chap called Merck Mercuriadis. And Merck, having spent decades in the music industry, wanted to launch a vehicle where he could own music rights. So we spent a long time looking for a vehicle, and this is the first one of its kind. It may not be the last, but it's certainly the first one at the moment. So the vehicle's been trading for 260 days. They raised £200 million when they launched last year. They have so far bought just over 1,500 songs. There was three new catalogues actually purchased last week. I'm not aware as yet exactly how many songs are in there, but more than 1,500 in total. And so year to date, or since over the last 260 days, the songs fund is up just under 7%, which if you compare that with UK equities, which over the same period are down about 4%. So it's very, very early days on a very long-term investment, but it's got off to a pretty good start.
Mike, potential investors may raise the red flag of musical artists' work being copied or used without any recompense. So why would you want to invest in that? Or are the protections in place for artists now more easily enforceable?
I think your question's really bang up to date. There was actually legislation passed this week regarding the use of content on the internet. Now, from the owners, the content owners, this is very, very good news for us. The main driver has been the fact that a lot of music is now delivered through the internet, and of course, you know, through streaming services such as Spotify, Deezer, iTunes, Apple Music, etc. And it's much, much easier to track where those songs are being played. Now, you know, when we go back to the very long-term nature of the investments, and we mirror that with the fact that 60% of the globe's population is under 35, so we've got a very, very big youth population. We then add to that that back in 2014, mobile internet access, about 48% of the world's population could access the internet via a mobile phone. This year, that number's at 65%. So actually, the cases of music piracy is a lot lower now than it was a decade ago. And you don't have to steal music. You can listen to a couple of advertisements, and then you can have the music free.
A lot of people consume music material through streaming services, as you've mentioned. How profitable are streaming services now? And isn't it an area that's going to be subject to more competition as new players jump into the mix?
It's absolutely fantastic, because remember, we own the writer's share. So it doesn't make any difference to us whether the song is played on an Apple platform or a Tencent platform or a YouTube platform or a Spotify platform. So the profitability of the platforms is no concern for us. But if our songs are played on those platforms, we're entitled to revenue. So actually, I think you're absolutely right in terms of platforms, but it's important to stress that we're not a platform. We are just investors in the underlying content that the platforms are delivering.
Absolutely. It makes total sense. And the beauty is that with those type of services, you're able to better track where your music is being played.
Absolutely. So you're partly... Why we like the opportunity is that we're supported by which we think you're quite favourable demographics, but we're also being supported by developing technology, and again that really it just brings the opportunity, the investment opportunity, you're right up to date.
And so, just in conclusion, Mike, in terms of having a mixed and balanced portfolio, of course, we're talking about a very new area of investment. But ideally, when you look at the proportions, you know, in terms of equities, bonds, property, music rights, etc., you know, how should one try and hold their investments such that they don't put all their eggs in one basket?
Yeah, so I think as you mentioned right at the outset, so I run the Sanlam Real Assets Fund, and so the music rights sits as part of that. So we own schools, roads, hospitals, we own wind farms, we own some ships, some aircraft. So it's a very diversified portfolio of similar long-life income-producing assets. The music rights fund is really interesting. I said it's taken us 4 or 5 years to find a vehicle we wanted to own. But even with that in mind, it is new. So I currently have about a 2% position in my portfolio. As the company matures and as they grow their assets, it's something I'm quite happy. I certainly hope I'll be able to grow with. But it is just important to remember that it's new. But you know, on that basis alone, you have to be quite sensible about the amount you allocate to it on day one.
Yeah. And in principle, if you can do it over there, you can do it pretty much anywhere else in the world. So here in South Africa, the idea would be a good one.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. It's a really interesting concept because I classify music rights in a similar space that I would classify cargo ships or aircraft, in that the assets themselves may be listed in the UK or listed in South Africa, but the assets are actually global assets. It's quite hard to pin down where a song is, or indeed an aircraft or a ship. So we think you have to look at these things as global investments rather than single country investments. And I think on that basis, it does sort of work everywhere.
That was Mike Pingera. He's head of multi-strategy at Sanlam Investments UK.